you want more? More money? More love? More energy? If so, then you're definitely in the right place, and I want to let you know that you're not alone. Each week, I'll be bringing you a special guest who will share with you their journey to success, where you'll learn beneficial skills, tactics, and life lessons to take with you along your own path. But the most important lesson you'll learn is that there's only really one person that you'll ever be chasing, and that person is you. My name is Matt Petruzzo, and I want to welcome you to the Chasing You Podcast. All right, welcome today. I am extremely excited to talk today with, if you don't know who this man is to my right, or my left actually here, then you've probably been living under a rock if you're from anywhere around Erie, Pennsylvania. It is Jason Perico. He is the owner of Bianchi Honda, which is a nationally recognized car dealership by Honda for the 19th consecutive year for their highest award, the President's Award. They sell over 500 cars every single month. Not only is that, but he's also one of the youngest graduates of the National Automobile Dealers Association Academy, as well as being a local philanthropist for a number of different charities. So to be honest with you, he's probably just one of the most honest and genuine and humble guys that I know. And I just am so grateful to not only have him here on this podcast, but also to be able to call him my friend. So thank you so much, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having me.
For coming on, I really appreciate it. So, you know, before we get into obviously all the accomplishments that you've achieved so far, I kind of wanted to hear just kind of like your backstory. Like, how did you get started and, you know, how was your childhood a little bit growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually born in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And back then I never thought I'd be living in Erie, Pennsylvania. But I came from a family. When I was two, my parents got divorced. And it was tough. I lived with my uncle, who was a great man for a few years, and my mom got remarried. And the first marriage was very discouraging. He was abusive to her and me, and it just it's a low point in life. Mm-hmm. You know, we got through that, and really the childhood for me really started to really shine when I met my father, Lou Perico. When they got remarried, and I was about 10 years old. Okay.
So when you obviously were growing up, you had such a pain. Like, I see this in a lot of people that are growing up that, like, you know, maybe they go through some hardships, that there's a lot of pain, and a lot of people go one way or the other. You
sure.
know, they can either, you know, sit on that pain and let it be kind of a crutch, or, you know, you saw, like, you know, your mother got divorced at a young age, and you know, and when you were a young age, and then obviously get remarried again and saw the abuse and saw all this thing, and then you saw a new man in your life, and you were like, you know what, instead of resenting my past, you know, I want to kind of learn from this great man and then really kind of use that pain to never get to that point. Is that
sure,
kind of something that
sure.
you used?
And as a kid, you're confused, and first thing you want to do is just block everything
yeah.
that's positive in your mm-hmm. life, because you haven't had much positivity in life.
Yeah, for sure.
And for me, you know, my dad, Lou Perico, helped a ton, because I remember as a kid, and I didn't read at a good mm-hmm. standard. I was bouncing from school to school, and he kind of added mm-hmm. stability in my life. Mm-hmm. And just that reassurance that you are smart, mm-hmm. You can do great things in life. Mm-hmm. And he told me that every day, and I really, you know, you look back and you thank him for all that, because it gave me the confidence I needed to, at that point, make a turning point in my life.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sometimes a lot of kids nowadays aren't getting that type of reassurance, or they're getting it in negative ways, and they're comparing themselves to what other people are thinking of them possibly. And, you know, I just want to kind of show that, like, it doesn't matter where maybe you're at or what accomplishments you maybe have achieved or not achieved. It's the knowing that it's really in yourself. And it is obviously an amazing thing to have a mentor and in your life to be able to show you those things. But, you know, moving on that, like, when you started in the car dealership business,
yeah.
you know, you started at a pretty young age, though, like, started working for him, because you admired him, right? Like, he was
Absolutely.
Somebody that you really looked up to.
Absolutely. You know, I failed the ninth grade mm-hmm. my freshman year, and that was about the turning point, because I always had an interest in cars. I love cars. Who doesn't like sports cars? And just cars in general was a passion of mine. And my dad saw that in me. And, you know, and inside, he always felt I was talented and smart. I just, I didn't give myself enough credit. I didn't have the confidence I needed. So he built up that confidence. He would even bring me into a lot of his business meetings, knowing that I didn't know what the heck was going on or being talked about. But just to give me that confidence that one day when I had my own meetings, I would know how to act and react and like I've been around it before. Yeah. So he started working on me at age 10, adopted me, made me his own, and taught me the business. So I actually started, he gave me the opportunity when I was 14 to wash cars. And, you know, he wasn't easy on me. He was hard, and he treated me harder than any other employee. Give you an example, at work it was Mr. Perica, it wasn't Dad. I couldn't call him Dad at work. And but you know, it gave you a little pride when you cleaned the car and you did the work, because you know, even today you look back and my guys I have in the prep department that are cleaning cars, I can say I did that job. They respect me for doing that job
for sure.
And it's nice to be able to know that you did every single position in the dealership.
And I think, you know, a lot of people nowadays, like they're so almost concerned about being too overprotective to their kids. You know what I mean? Where I think that actually hurts them in the long run, because then they start to expect things and they start to be entitled to things, where, you know, it, the greatest lesson that he could ever given you was to say, hey, you actually have to work for this, right? And, you know, when you graduated from high school, you didn't really want to go to, you know, you did go to college for a little bit or no?
I actually went to the NADA Dealer Academy, which is a four-year college in McLean, Virginia, which is Washington, D.C.
So after that point, though, you know, you came back to Erie and, you know, your dad actually wanted to sell the Honda dealership, right? Isn't that true?
Yeah, I actually, after I started washing cars when I was 14, and in Florida, you could have a learner's permit and start selling. So he allowed me the opportunity to start selling cars when I was 15. So I got a lot of selling under my belt and didn't know where to move from there. I became a manager at 18, right when I graduated high school. And
that was at one of the dealerships in Florida?
Yes. That was at our Mazda store in Florida. And I worked for, my dad had sold that store, so I worked for a new owner, which was great education because you got a different point of, you know, someone who ran a business a totally different way.
Definitely.
Even though it may not have been the best way, it's, it was a great experience to get that. But yeah, and then, so my father was at the age then that he was going to retire and he was going to sell all the stores in Erie, and, you know, he wanted to have a conversation with me first, and through that conversation, I just, I felt like I had enough confidence that I could turn around the store. And, so I gave him my word that if he gave me the opportunity to move to Erie to start at a sales position in Erie, not just management right away, that I would work my way up and make him proud and not have him regret that decision.
Well, and then, you know, I know, I mean, when you are starting in such a, you know, a new town, right? Like, you knew no one in Erie, right? And then all of a sudden, like, you're like, well, I have to not just be perceived as the, you know, boss's son. I have to come in here and really show that I'm actually dedicated to my craft, learning, and really just actually putting yourself in the position where, you know, you were at the basically bottom of the totem pole, right? Like you were, and I know for a lot of people think, you know, like they see you now, you know, they see the now, they see the after, they see all these, you know, accolades, right? But, you know, kind of give us the background of like what it was like for those like 10 dark years, I call them, right?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's kind of funny because I had never seen snow before. So you go from South Florida that's, you know, 80s, 90s, even 100 in the summer, and you come up to a different culture, not only with people, but just your weather and your, and you don't know anybody. So that was difficult. You know, when you come in an environment, you don't know anybody, and people look at you as automatically, you know, the owner's son. First thing I knew I had to do was get in there, put in the grind, work 70 hours a week, and really outperform everybody so that one day they had respect for me, that I did every position at its full capability.
I like that a lot, because I always kind of say that, you know, nowadays there's so many, there's a lot of people that look for praise. You know, they look for that quick shot of, you know, because the praise feels good, you know, because, you know, hey, if I sell this car or I do this and somebody, you know, praises me for my accomplishment, but it's short-lived. you know, you were looking for more of the respect, which is a long-term thing where, like, you know that you have to actually put the time in, you have to put the effort forth to actually gain someone's respect. It's not just like, oh, I sold this car the last week, I deserve your respect. No, like, you knew that, and, you know, that's where it kind of, I think it's a, you saw that a lot in your father, too, because,
sure,
you know, he worked pretty ballsy crazy, right, like, for a long time.
He did. And I actually wanted to get my degree in the car business while I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things my dad said. He said, hey, I'm not paying you any differently. You're mm-hmm. getting paid just like your position,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to earn it. So mm-hmm. I would spend 2 weeks in Washington, D.C., and then mm-hmm. come back and sell mm-hmm. cars for 2 weeks mm-hmm. and be able to make enough money to live.
Wow, okay.
And that just teaches you how to grind.
Yeah.
Really, really look forward to your future, and you really focus on what you need to focus on.
And, you know, I think a lot of people think that, you know, they're looking for the next thing to be, you know, happy for. But, like, part of the grind is what makes it great. You know, like, the hard is what makes it great, because then you can look back and be like, wow, I used to be like this, now I'm like this. And you only get that from actually going through the steps. You know, if you were just given everything, you know, there's a lot of people that could have been in the position as you and just taken really mediocre advantage of it. Like, mm-hmm. and just been like, oh, I got this handed to me. I'm just going to go along the easy street. But those people become very depressed. They become, you know, just very unhappy, I think.
Sure.
Because they don't have any motivation to strive better. And they don't have any confidence in themselves to believe that they can do something else. Mm-hmm. So I think your dad obviously was an unbelievable man, and I barely knew him a little bit, but I know that how amazing he is just from what he, you know, produced out of you. And, you know, like, having somebody that's able to do that is such a crucial thing in my life. And, you know, I had a great father that was able to kind of instill that in me as well, you know, just to kind of show me that I could do this. It wasn't like, hey, you know, here, you can have this and that's it, or teach me how to do this and that's it. It was, no, let me teach you why it's important to do this and what you'll become because of doing that.
Sure.
You know, and I think, you know, we have a really similar mindset on that. It's like, when, you know, there's a lot of people out there that may see somebody's success, and then they look at them of, you know, what can they do for me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't look at that like that. I think we talk about this a lot, that, you know, we were just talking about the other day, like, we saw, you know, somebody in your life that's doing very, very well, and you're like, wow, I'm so intrigued by this man because of the fact that I want to learn what he knows, not so what he can do for me, but, like, he's obviously doing something that I want to be at or I want to accomplish, so how can I learn that and implement it into my own life? And that's a really important thing. So, like, You talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Knowledge is so powerful. And certainly, as much knowledge as you can know, mm-hmm. like, when I was, you know, it's not easy. When I was going through that sales process, working 70 hours a week, mm-hmm. not getting paid a lot, you're a human being. So sometimes you feel like you want to give up.
Yeah,
For sure. Then you got to refocus.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing, is how can I refocus to be stronger? But, yeah, I wanted to really know everybody's position, to have the knowledge, you know, to one day, hopefully, when I was the owner of a business or manager of the business, I would know what they know, the knowledge that they know.
Yeah.
Because you can learn something from everybody.
Yeah, certainly. And you said a good thing, you know, there about kind of keeping your mindset right and then looking towards little goals. You know, I know we talk about this a lot, and some entrepreneurs, some people starting out, you know, they may lose that drive at a point, you know, and we talked about this a lot. And I actually learned a lot from you when you told me, you know, even though you're doing such amazing things all the time, you know, you still set small micro goals and then celebrate those micro goals. I found myself, you know, throughout my entrepreneurial business, like not celebrating the wins, mm-hmm. which is actually a terrible thing to do, because you need to be able to celebrate those wins, because then you get to see yourself achieving.
Sure.
You know, and then you can, see it again. And I think if people don't do that, what it does is it starves you from wanting to achieve more.
Sure.
And you know, talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think what a lot of people do wrong is they always look forward to, hey, I'm going to do this because I want to retire in 20 years or 30 mm-hmm. years or 40 years or whatever that date may be, when you have to keep yourself focused in the middle and in the beginning, even short term as weekly. I'll give you a quick example. I would, you know, back then I would go to the grocery store. I'd get some chicken and vegetables, and I'd eat it. That would be my dinner. But man, I really, really wanted a steak. So I would tell myself, hey, Jason, if you can sell X amount of cars this week, I'm going to go out and get a steak on Saturday night. And let me tell you what, that steak tastes good. Not only because it was a steak, but you accomplished what you needed to earn that steak. And that's just little goals. But it kept me refocused for the next week. I made another one. And the next week I made another one. And then, you know, you kind of, you're those little goals eventually get you to a big goal. And like you said, it's important to celebrate those little gains because it takes a lot of work to get to those little gains. And it teaches yourself, I get rewarded for hard work.
And it's like that is the essence of everything, I believe, because, you know, I think a lot of people, they start just rewarding themselves for completing the day, you know, or completing the week or getting through the week. But like, it's not like you couldn't have afforded that steak and ate that steak all week long, but you were disciplined enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to eat that steak every day of the week. I know it's a little bit of a reward, so I have to accomplish this set goal to then enjoy that steak, and you enjoy it so much more, right? Like, it's like, it's crazy how the mind, you can just play tricks. It is like how you play little tricks with it, you know, and I love that. I love that. But, you know, when we talked about, obviously earlier, you have more than what, a couple hundred employees now, right?
Yeah. 200 employees at Honda. We're actually the largest volume dealership in Pennsylvania. So
that's amazing. Like, it's, that's amazing, right? Like, this guy is amazing. And, you know, I obviously look up to him in so many ways. And one of the main things is, like, I know a lot of your employees, you know, and they respect you so much. And that's something that, like, people forget. Like, they think once you get to like a management role or a leadership role, it's like, you are the top dog. So everybody should do what, you know, what you tell them to do. And that's not how you look at things. You know, you look at things as, you know, more leading by example. And I think that's in every aspect, whether you're teaching your kids or, you know, because you can tell your kids to do something, but if you're not doing it, what are they going to do? They're going to do what they see, what they see, not what you tell them. And, you know, we were just talking the other day about, you know, how in here in Erie, Pennsylvania, we were getting a blizzard like we are today, actually. And, you know, there was a couple feet of snow on all your cars. And then, you know, it can get pretty depressing if you're in a car dealership and there's not a lot of people coming by. And, you know, what'd you do? I want to share that.
Well, a lot of the mistake that people make is they work hard, they get a management position, they feel automatically like a crown's on their head and they don't need to work anymore.
Right.
When in essence, you need to work harder because now you're leading people. And just to give you an example, you know, it's when the snow's falling in the car business, you have 1,000 cars, you got to clean them off, you got to plow, and then you got to sell them on top of it. So I went in and work in the morning, and I noticed that a lot of the guys were kind of down, putting on their boots, ready to go. So the first thing I did was I wanted to be that first person out there leading by example, brushing the cars, moving cars, getting the work done together, rather than them sitting outside doing all the hard work, looking in and seeing someone in the warm environment doing nothing. So
and you could have by any means been like, hey, I pay these guys, they should go out there and clean these cars. But you don't. Like, that's not the right mentality.
And I tell you what, the self pride you have with that, and we ended up having a great selling day. We ended up selling 35 cars in a blizzard.
That's amazing.
And people tell you energy doesn't cause that, it 100% does.
I truly believe energy, like, people, you know, like, oh, it's kind of phony, like, oh, energy, like, but the highest level of energy is truth, you know, and I talk about that a lot, is like, if you're being truthful to who you are and what you believe in, that energy is revealed back to who you're trying to lead. Like, you can't lead unless you're being genuinely truthful to who you are. And I just, like, and that's such a great thing. Like, if you took anything from that, like, he is just a genuine, honest guy, and the people love working for him, not because, you know, obviously they're such a high volume dealership, but like the community of people. And, you know, talk a little bit about that, because not only just about the community of employees that you're working, you know, with, and they love you to death, but it's the loyalty of your customers. You know, your customers are unbelievably loyal. It's crazy. You know, you guys literally do more car sales than all of the other local dealerships combined, correct?
Combined,
that's
yeah.
That's crazy. Like, that's crazy. All right. So tell us like a little bit about how you've built that.
Yeah, it was a lot of hard work, and it's number one, doing the right thing, being yourself.
Yeah.
People are going to love you for who you are.
For sure.
And just really, you know, when I came up to Erie, I felt like the community embraced me. Mm. You know, I didn't know anybody, and people reached out to me. And, you know, give back to the community. Never forget where you came from. Mm. But in essence, you know, because in business, there are times when you could, you know, make a little bit more money here or there, or just, but if you stick and do the right thing, and what's going to make someone truly happy and create that bond between you and the customer, they don't forget that.
Mm.
When you treat them right, that's loyalty to them. That runs down to their kids, to their parents, their whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you create an empire.
Yeah.
Those first 4 or 5 years of business wasn't the best of times profit-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew in my heart that if I did the right thing, if I put in the hours, if I treated people the way they're supposed to,
yeah.
Eventually that comes around and you'll be rewarded with that. But it'll be in a way to where you're fulfilled inside,
yeah,
because you did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the community is embracing you by giving back, by buying your product.
I 100% agree with that. Like, you can see it in every aspect. So if you took anything from that, like, there's so many people out there that are trying to make that quick dollar, you know, or make that quick profit. And you forget that any business has everything to do with your interaction with another human being, right? So, you know, it's such a corny saying of like, oh, you know, treat others as you would like to be treated. But like, we forget that, like, when we're in business, right?
Sure,
like, we
absolutely
forget that that's the whole mecca of,
yeah,
business. Like, and you do that to such an extreme where you knew that your business was in it for the long term. It wasn't just like a short-term play of, oh, I need to make this money and then cash out. It's like, no, I'm here to be part of the community and actually spread the great message of helping and service and you know, being such a great role model to a lot, mm-hmm, of people in this town. And I really respect that a lot. And, you know, I think, you know, you're one of the great philanthropists of, you know, our generation in Erie here, and I really respect that. And I think a lot of people, you know, they're almost scared to be honest about how they're giving back. And I think, to be honest with you, like, you need to be open with it. Like, and you give back in such a way that it not only helps your brand and helps your awareness, but it also, by showing that you're giving, it's like a tenfold, right? Like, you're not only helping the other businesses and local organizations, local charities, but you're also, you know, showing other people that it's okay to give. You know, it's okay
to give.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And, you know, what have you seen from that? Like, not only in a sense of, like, business, but, like, the fulfillment from that, you know?
Absolutely. It's a big fulfillment. Not only are you doing the right thing, you're giving back to the community, and which comes back to you. But self-fulfillment, I know I put on, just to give you an example, a rivalry game. It's, mm-hmm, called the Perico Pride of Erie, mm-hmm, Games. It's two city schools, you know, Mercyhurst and Gannon.
Yeah.
And they play each other twice a year, and there's a trophy given out, and we really get the players involved and do press conferences. But just to see people in the community come up to you at the game and say, thanks for what you're doing. My son plays for Gannon, and he's been looking forward to this game. Or, you know, my family looks forward to these games, and now it's even better that, you know, it's all hyped up, and,
yeah,
and you're giving back, and it's nice, and you're not necessarily profitable because of giving,
yeah,
back,
yeah.
But for me, I love basketball. For me, I love our community, and,
yeah,
I thought, what better way than to do that and,
yeah,
and give these kids encouragement. We've actually had some kids who have played on the basketball teams actually inquire about wanting to work at the store.
Wow.
Because they got a chance, I got a chance to talk to them, and they got a chance to kind of see the environment at the store and kind of really intrigue them. So it's one round world.
It is. It is. And obviously, you're hearing so much about how business should be run. So, like, even if you don't have your own business or you're just starting out, you're working for someone else, you know, it all comes down to the same thing. Like, you treat others the way that, you know, you would like to be treated, and put yourself in a position to be a leader, whether it's leading your kids, your family, you know, your brother, your nephew, you know, your employees, whatever it may be, leadership comes from you within, believing in yourself and then doing and acting upon the things that you know you should be doing. And, you know, I really, Jason, you blow my mind. And that's obviously, I'm so grateful for you to be in my life. And, you know, that's a huge motivator to me, of course. But, you know, I have a last couple, two things to kind of ask. You know, part of this podcast is to show people that, like, it's an ongoing journey, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, I've accomplished this and now I can rest on my laurels, right? It's like, no, what are the things that I can next do, next grow upon and build on this legacy for myself and just continue to impact the world, right? So if the first one is, if you could go back, you know, 5 years from today and kind of talk to yourself and kind of give yourself like a little pep talk, you know, what's something that you would maybe tell yourself? All right. Sorry, we had a little bit of an interruption. I don't know if you caught it or not, but we're going to get back to it. So the last thing, you know, last couple things I want to talk to Jason about was pretty much, you know, if you could go back 5 years from now, you know, and tell yourself that, you know, what's in the, you know, future for myself or what's something that I can make sure that I keep my head right. You know, what would you tell yourself 5 years
ago? Sure. And 5 years ago, my life was much different. I was a manager. I was working 70 hours a week. I was just part of that daily grind, mm-hmm. and trying to better myself. And my dad passed away shortly after that. And I was, I guess, got a lot of responsibility put on you. You had 200 employees and a lot of other things in life. And it just taught me that, you know, if you've reached the top level and you own this and you own that and you're making good money, you don't stop. You keep growing. You got to find new goals, mm-hmm. New passions, things like that. And, you know, never settle at the top. Always continue to grow. And that's because you can better yourself. You better people around you. And now you can kind of influence more people, yeah. because of the position you're in,
yeah.
and kind of be an example to more people and keep working hard to better everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a big thing because, you know, people say, you know, that money's not important and it's not the number one thing, but to be able to impact the amount of people and the amount of lives and influence the amount of people that you want to influence, like, well, unfortunately, like the way the world works is like you need to have some financial security to be able to do those things. And by being able to improve yourself, that not only improves you as a person, but it improves all the people's lives around you. And that's what makes it so amazing. Like you have 200 plus people, mm-hmm. that, you know, are your responsibility, right? Like you're responsible for their well-being, their livelihood, and, you know, being able to show them, you know, I talk about like it's called the future pacing of like seeing what's possible in life, mm-hmm. right? So that's such a great thing. And I really appreciate you for telling us that. And, you know, I know we've talked a lot about this too, is, you know, we're always searching, we're always trying to grow, we're always trying to better ourselves. And, you know, the last thing I want to kind of ask you is, in 5 years from now, you know, what is a goal or a life that you imagine yourself being in 5 years from now? Not, you know, in whether it's personal, business-wise, or whatever it may be, like, I know you have ambitions and goals, and is there something that you would like to accomplish in the next 5 years that, you know, you have in the back of your mind?
You know, obviously, you want to sell more cars and grow the business, but kind of gotten to the point in my life where personal-wise, I want to be able to influence more, mm-hmm. people, maybe give back to kids that were in my situation that really were down on themselves, didn't think they were smart when they were young, mm-hmm. and really, really share my story, mm-hmm. so that people can actually look and see, hey, you know, I can get there because anybody can do it. Yeah. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, mm-hmm. but I had really good work ethic.
Yeah.
And I outworked a lot of people. And mm-hmm. just to encourage people, encourage more and more people down the road would really satisfy me while I'm growing business-wise as well.
Awesome. That's amazing. So now, and if you took anything from that, just basically know that, yes, he was in a situation where he had a great mentor, but not everybody's in that position. We're in a day and age nowadays where you can find a great mentor online, you know, through Instagram, but make, you know, YouTube videos, whatever it may be, but make sure you're following the right type of people that fulfill you and motivate you and empower you and really and realistically, like, eliminate as much out of your life that disempowers you. You know, there are so many things nowadays that make us feel less than we are worth. And that is the absolute worst mm-hmm. thing that, you know, somebody starting out or somebody even, you know, late in their life could have, is somebody, some feeling of themselves that they're not worthy or they're not capable of becoming great. And that's the main message that we always speak and I always speak with. And that's why we have such a great relationship is, you know, we're meant to be, you know, influential because we know that we're never going to be the best version of ourselves, but we're always chasing, we're always continuing to grow, and we're always continuing to influence by the actions that we take. Mm-hmm. So if, Jason, if, you know, obviously we had such a great time, I love talking with you as always, you know, if you're wherever you're at in your life, if you have an, you know, maybe a position where you're not happy where you're at with your job and you know you could be capable of more, you know, I know not only like the guys that work for Jason, they love the community, but they also are doing very well. You know, like you pay yeah. your guys unbelievably well. And if you think that, you know, maybe you're in a position, maybe you want to try something new out, you know, you're getting in a position, you know, if they ever want to come up to Bianchi Honda, I would highly, highly recommend it because, you know, I tell people all the time, it's like if you're starting out, I think the number one skill that you'll ever have is being able to sell. And, you know, you get put in a position where like people are just coming in because obviously Jason does such an amazing job with building a community. So you get put in a really good position where you're not really having to work as hard as maybe you have to at another place, but it also puts you in a position to learn from some of the best guys out there. You know, I know these guys are amazing. So if you're looking towards anything like that, you have interest in that, obviously reach out to Jason, go up to Bianchi Honda, tell him I sent you. But also if you're ever in the, obviously in the mood to get a new car, obviously go check out the Hondas. They're a great automobile. And other than that, thank you guys so much for joining us today. If you have any questions, obviously reach out to me anytime. I'll try and relay something over to Jason if you have any questions to Jason. But make sure you like, you subscribe, and obviously just continue to improve yourself every single day and you will get whatever you want in life. All right, thank you guys. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Appreciate it.